Well, hello, Northbrook. Again, my name is John Mawson, one of the pastors here at Northbrook, and I'm so excited to be with you this weekend. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're able to get outside and enjoy some of this weather. I was able to get outside. I was, however, not able to enjoy this weather because I was doing yard work, and I was reminded of how much I despise yard work because my allergies are acting up now, and so if I sniffle or I sneeze, my apologies in advance for my allergies and frankly having to do yard work. But hopefully you're doing well. And, I miss you. We've been praying for you, Northbrook family. Thank you for sending in your connection cards and letting us know how we can pray for you. And, I'm so excited for when we can all gather here. I gotta tell you, it's odd preaching to, an empty room. I miss seeing all of you, even those of you that looked bored with my amazing messages. I gotta tell you, even you, I'm missing. I'll take bored or sleepy looks over empty chairs any day. So hopefully that happens soon. But, we are in week two of a series called The Loudest Voice. And wherever you are in living rooms, bedrooms, kitchens, if you have a neighbor, look at them and say, I hope you're ready. And if you're by yourself, say, self, get ready, because here we go. So I shared this story a few weeks ago on a Wednesday night, but it just fit so well that I decided to share it again. So Seven Family, you get to hear this story twice. You're just that lucky. But let's be honest, some of you have probably already forgotten this story by now. So over 20 years now, I have been a huge fan of the Christian rock band Skillet. I think that Skillet is the best Christian rock band, and there's not a lot of people here to argue with me. So I'm just going to say Skillet is the best Christian rock band. I mean, they're from Wisconsin, and I met them a while ago, and they seem like really nice people. And so I love Skillet. And so when my wife and I started dating, I introduced her to Skillet. And I'll never forget the day when we were married and I walked into the kitchen and my wife was jamming out to Skillet of her own free will. It's like, yes. And so I told her, we've got to get you to a Skillet concert. And so a few years ago, I took my wife Shalana to her first Skillet concert. It was at Life Fest. And if you're not from Wisconsin, Life Fest is the big Christian music festival in Wisconsin in Oshkosh every summer. And so we drove up to Life Fest. We got there super early. It was a beautiful day. And there's one thing you gotta know about my wife. My wife is not a fan of crowds. Like, my wife does her Black Friday shopping online. My wife has a very big personal bubble. And so we got there and she saw the huge crowd in front of the stage waiting for Skillet. And she was like, you know, I think we could just hang out here in the back, right? And I was like, oh, no, 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 no. Skillet is not a hang in the back kind of band. Like, Skillet is meant to be experienced right in front of the speaker with exuberant, joyful, energetic, sweaty people around you. Okay, I might have left out the sweaty people pitch in my speech, but I told her, you know, we gotta get up to the front. And so we had a brief discussion, and at the end of our discussion, I won. And so we pushed our way towards the front of the crowd, right in front of one of the speakers, and we waited. And finally, Skillet came out and the music started. It was so loud. It was beautiful. It was so loud. You couldn't hear anyone around you talking. You couldn't, if someone could have been right next to you and you couldn't hear them because the music was that loud. It was beautiful. A little side note, after the concert, I found out that moving forward, we as a couple will be stand at the back of the Skillet concert, just moving forward. And also, we as a couple like Skillet at a reasonable volume. But here's the point. Maybe some of you have had a similar experience where you've been to a concert or something somewhere where something was so loud that you couldn't hear anything else. It didn't matter how important the people standing next to you were to you or how much they wanted to communicate with you. The loudest noise shut out everything else. Which brings me to a very simple observation, but I want to establish it before we move forward. We all know this to be true. The loudest noise often beats the most important noise. Or I could say it a little differently. I could say the loudest voice often beats out the most important voice. Think of it this way. Imagine with me, if you will, that you have two radios or two boomboxes. Remember boomboxes? And they're always on. Both of them are always on. And one plays great music. One plays music that you love. Music that lifts your spirits. Music that energizes you. Music that's your jam. Whatever that is. This boombox plays the music that just makes you feel alive. I'm a runner. I love to run, and I love to listen to music when I run. And it's amazing to me how the right song can give me energy on a run that I didn't even know that I had. That's the power of music. So this boombox here, it just plays the best music, whatever that is for you, the music that inspires you and motivates you and helps you get through the day. But then there's another boombox. And this boombox, this one over here, plays music that you can't stand. Music maybe that you even hate. Music that just sends you up the wall whenever you hear it. Now, I'm not going to make suggestions. I don't want to alienate anyone listening. Music's a touchy subject. Actually, okay, I'll make one suggestion. Maybe for parents watching, the boombox plays Baby Shark on repeat. Just over and over, Baby Shark. I hope I haven't gotten Baby Shark stuck in your head. If I have, I apologize. But whatever it is, the boombox just plays music that you just don't like. Over and over, that's what this boombox is playing. Now, here is the question. Which boombox will you listen to? Now, you might be tempted to say, of course, I'll listen to the boombox with the music that I love. And I get why you would say that. But technically, the truth is, you will listen to whatever boombox is turned up. Whatever boombox is turned up, that is the one you'll listen to. Because it's not about what you say you like, or even what you say is important to you. It's about what you have turned up. And here's why this is important. Because often in life, followers of Christ say that God and His biblical truth is the most important voice in their life. We say that God has the final word. We say that we believe God and His promises. But we allow other voices to get louder and louder until they drown out the truth we know. We see this play out throughout our lives and throughout Scripture. Perfect example of this idea is found in the Old Testament in the story of the Israelites. If you grew up in church, you're probably familiar with this story. The Israelites find themselves as slaves in Egypt. They're being mistreated. They're being abused. It's gotten so bad that their baby boys are being murdered. It's bad. And so God sends Moses to get them out of Egypt. But the plan was never just to get them out of Egypt. That was only half the plan. The plan was to get them out of Egypt and into the promised land, the land that God had promised them, aptly named promised land. It's right in the name. And so God sends Moses and miracles happen. And eventually Pharaoh lets the Israelites go. And God parts the Red Sea and provides manna for them in the desert and water to drink. And even provides a pillar of fire at night to guide them. And there's no doubt that God is at work helping them and fulfilling His promise to them to take them to the promised land. The land that He has promised them, right in the name, promised land. But then something interesting happens. They get to the edge of the promised land. And all they got to do is take it. But another voice starts speaking to them. A voice of doubt and a voice of fear. And in Numbers 13, we read that Moses sends some men to explore the promised land, the land that God has promised to them. And they go out and they explore the promised land for 40 days. And they come back and they say, the land is just as good as God told us it would be. Surprise, surprise. It's a great land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's got amazing fruit. This is great land. This is the best land ever. But we've got some bad news. The people are powerful. The cities are fortified. And we look like grasshoppers to them. We don't know how to say this, guys, but there's giants. Some men that went and explored the land, they come back. And basically they say, we went to the promised land. We looked at it. It was just as great as God said it would be. But guess what? We can't live there. And Caleb, one of the men who went out, says, wait, hold up. Hold up. Time out. Hang on. And Caleb says, yes, everything we just said is true. The land's amazing, milk and honey, fruit. And yes, people are powerful. The cities are fortified. Yes, there's giants. But aren't we forgetting something? Like, it's the promised land, guys. Like, God promised that land to us. We should go take it. And so now the people have a decision to make. Who are they going to listen to? Are they going to listen to the voice of God through Caleb telling them to possess the land, or are they going to listen to the voice of doubt and fear that's telling them they can never take the land? Now, here's what's interesting. I can't prove this, but I believe this. If you had been able at that moment to walk into the Israelite camp and survey all the Israelites, right? You get a group together, you get the clipboards, and you survey everyone, all the Israelites. And you go to them, the people who had just seen God do miracles in Egypt, get them out, and then part Red Sea, provide manna and water in the desert, a pillar of fire at night to guide them. If you had been able to survey them, here's what I think you would have found. In that moment, if you had been able to survey them and ask them, hey, has God done anything in your life? Like, would you say that you've seen God at work in your life? I think they all would have said, yes, absolutely, yes. If you had asked them, has God been faithful to you? Like, do you think that you can trust God? I think they all would have said, yes. And if you had asked them, so whose voice is most important to you when it comes to making decisions? I think they all would have said, God. God's voice is most important to us. See, here's what's happening. They believe God at a head level, but not at a heart level. They believe God's truth at a head level, but they're allowing fear at a heart level. Because you know something? You can believe something at a head level and it not make its way down to your heart. You can say one thing, but through your actions show that you actually believe something else. And that's what happens in this moment. They just saw God do miracle after miracle, and I'm sure in their heads they still trusted him, but in their hearts they allowed the voice of those men to cause fear and doubt, and they panicked. And if you know the story, you know it doesn't end well. Because they panicked and they choose to listen to the voice of fear and doubt, they complain and they say, we can't do this. We'd be better off in Egypt. We'd be better off in the desert, which is just crazy. And so because of that, they don't go into the promised land. They spend the next 40 years wandering around the desert. 40 years. And as easy as it is for us to shake our heads at them, we aren't all that different. If we're honest, it's so very easy for all of us to know what God says in our heads, but allow the voice of something else to come and control our hearts. And when we listen to the wrong voice, when we allow a voice that isn't God's to direct our life, it will cost us. Sometimes days or weeks or months or even years. So let me ask you, what voice have you been listening to lately? Oh, I know for many watching that God is the most important voice in your life. I'm not asking who is the most important voice. I'm asking, what voice have you been listening to lately? And what has that voice been telling you? Like the Israelites, your voice that you've been listening to lately may be a voice of fear or doubt over a job situation or the economy or a health situation. Or it might be a voice of loneliness telling you that nobody cares, that you're going to always feel this lonely, that things are never going to get better. Or you may be listening to a voice of disappointment. A voice that's telling you that those special memories that you were hoping to make, a wedding, a graduation, a family vacation, that you're never going to be able to recapture those moments that you lost. I don't know what your voice is, but I do know that it can get really loud. So how do we turn down those voices? I think it starts with acknowledging that they're there. See, I think sometimes we just like to pretend that they're not there. Like, even though we know that they're there, we just try to pretend that we're fine and they're not there. But turning down the noise starts with acknowledging it. The Israelites were scared, but to obey God actually meant walking towards what they were scared of, walking towards their giants, walking into the promised land. See, when we acknowledge the voice of fear or doubt or loneliness or anxiety or whatever that voice is, whatever it's saying, when we acknowledge that it's there, that's the first step to turning it down. And then we reach out and consult a friend or a counselor or a pastor. We get other people involved in the process. And when we do the hard work of processing what we're feeling, we acknowledge it and we deal with it. That is how we begin to turn it down. If we ignore it, otherwise it just hangs around and comes back. So for some of us listening today, turning down the noise is going to start with acknowledging it and maybe sharing that fact with a friend or a counselor, a pastor, that what we're struggling with. But that'll be the first step to turning it down. Sometimes, though, our battles with the loudest voice are much more subtle. And maybe fear or doubt isn't the voice we're listening to. Maybe the voice we're listening to is simply something culture told us that we've accepted as truth, and it happens so subtly over time that we don't even realize the noise of culture has been turned up over God's. So often what culture tells us is opposite of what our Heavenly Father is saying. And if we're not careful, we can listen to the wrong voice and not even know it. We can convince ourselves that God is saying what culture is saying when he isn't. You see this illustrated perfectly in the Gospels when we look at the 12 disciples. If anyone should be able to hear the voice of God clearly, you would think it would be the 12 guys that spent 3 years learning from Jesus. I mean, if anyone would hear the voice of God clearly, it's got to be them, right? But when you look at the disciples 3 years with Jesus, it becomes abundantly clear that they let culture often drown out and misinterpret the very words of Jesus. The disciples' culture wasn't all that different from ours. It was a culture that vied for power and fame and possessions. It was a culture of rank and authority and busyness and doing what you had to do to get ahead. And Jesus, more often than not, spoke against the culture. And he said things that would have caused quite a stir in the crowds. He said things like what Matthew records in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19, where Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And skipping down to verse 25, Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In that passage in Matthew, Jesus says, don't store up treasure. Don't worry about this life, what you eat, what you wear. He says the pagans or our culture runs after possessions and status, but his followers are going to live differently. They're going to seek first his kingdom. Over and over, Jesus says to his disciples that following him means serving and loving and giving up power, the opposite of what culture was telling them. But at first, they don't get it. They hear Jesus saying those things, but culture is so ingrained in them that they misinterpret his words that they can't understand it. There's a lot of stories that illustrate that point, but one of my favorite is when two of the disciples, their brothers, they bring their mom to Jesus, and their mom asks Jesus if they can be on his left and his right when he comes into his kingdom. And the other disciples hear about it, and then they're angry because they want those two spots, because those are the status spots. Those are the power spots. That is the first and second commander. And how disappointing it must have been for Jesus to realize that after all his time talking with them, that they still think that he is going to overthrow Rome. He is going to take down Rome, and they're all going to become powerful and rich and famous, and they're vying over who's going to have the top spot when that all happens. See, those boys still thought that Jesus was going to take over the world and they were going to become rich and famous because that is what culture had told them was success. And if Jesus was God, then he was going to be successful. But success was going to look a lot different for them than how culture defined it. You know, it's easy to shake our heads at the disciples, but we're not all that different. You know, no matter how many times I hear the words of Jesus, don't worry for this life. Don't store up treasure on earth. Seek first my kingdom. If you want to be great, you got to serve. If you want to live, you must lay down your life. You don't need to be afraid. No matter how many times I hear those words, if I'm honest, there are times when other voices get loud enough to drown out the truth I know. That's why for me, there have been times in my life when I've had to stop following certain social media accounts. Because the voice that I'm hearing from them is causing me to fear or doubt or causing me to abandon the truth I know. Now there's one thing to be informed. But there's another thing when we allow things to bombard us to the point where we allow fear and doubt and voices that are not of God into our life. And so there's been times when I have chosen love and wisdom in that moment means shutting out that account. I've also realized that I need people in my life who can call me out when they see me listening to a voice that's not of God. And so I've sought out mentors and friends, people in my life that can call me out and tell me when they see me operating in a way where God's voice is not the most important voice in my life. And when I'm allowing other voices, the voices of culture or other voices to impact my life and to call the shots. I've also begun a practice of regularly, during my time with God, stopping and asking some really hard questions. Like the question, okay, obviously I know that in my head I say God's voice is most important, but today, what is my heart saying? What is my heart saying is the most important voice in my life right now? So let me ask you again. What are the loudest voices in your life right now? What's pushing and driving you, calling the shots? What's the message that you are believing? And is that message in line with what your Heavenly Father says is true? Maybe for some of us, this weekend is an opportunity to turn down some of the noise in our lives. Many of you know I'm a huge fan of Survivor. I watched the first season with my dad, and I've been hooked ever since. I've even applied for the show. And back in college, my sophomore year, I heard about an opportunity to be in a game that was based on Survivor. It was called The Incredible Challenge. It would take place over 4 days, 2 weekends. And the grand prize was $5,000. Well, I didn't really think I would actually win, but I was excited to play a game based off of Survivor. And so I signed up and got there. There was about 90 to 100 other people that had entered into this contest. They split us up into 8 teams, and I was on the yellow team. And over the first 3 days, they had the teams compete in various challenges like the ones you'd see on Survivor. So we had to eat some gross things and do some puzzles and some relays. And over those first 3 days, my team competed and we did really well. And on the end of the third day, they announced that my team had won. So we came back the next day. And the next day, we did 2 individual competitions, just my team. And I didn't win the first individual competition. But the second one was an obstacle course race, and I won that. And so then I won, and this other guy won, and my team had to turn around and vote. And they had to vote and determine which one of us would win the $5,000. Everyone on my team, but one person, voted to give me the $5,000. And I still want to know who that one person was. So if any Survivor producers are watching this, I'm ready. I'm ready for the big show. I'm ready for Survivor. But here's what I want to talk about. So during the team competitions, the last team competition, one we really needed to do well in, took place in this big field. And there were puzzle pieces all over the field, and each team had its own color. And everybody on our team, except for one person, was blindfolded. And that person was the caller. And one at a time, we would go out into the field, and she would direct us to the puzzle piece that we needed to get to and direct us back. But the only thing is, there were 7 other teams doing the same thing. So if you can imagine it, there were 8 callers screaming directions into the field. But only 1 caller that was actually directing you. And so when it was my turn, I had to listen so intently, block out all the other noise of the other people screaming directions, and listen to the one voice that I knew had my best interest in mind and wanted me to succeed. I'd do everything I could do to block out all the other screaming and yelling and listen to that one voice. You know, we all have a lot of voices competing for our attention. And sometimes life feels a lot like walking around in a field blindfolded. And I don't know what voices have been screaming at you lately. I don't know what voices have been trying to get your attention. But I do know that there is one voice in your life that cares about you, that loves you, and is the only voice that can guide you where you need to go. So this weekend, the challenge for all of us is to evaluate our lives and ask a simple question. Are there voices that we need to turn down so that we can listen to the one voice that matters? Maybe for some of us today, we've allowed some voices in our life to get a little loud. We've allowed some things to come along and get so loud that they're distracting us. And we need to go and turn them down. We need to make that intentional decision to be careful about what voices we're listening to. Once we've turned down some of those voices, then we need to intently listen in to the voice that really matters. And so my challenge to all of us this weekend, God's challenge to all of us, is to make sure that the loudest voice is the voice of our Heavenly Father. And when we turn the voice of our Heavenly Father up, we listen intently, trusting that He is guiding us and listening to us. So let's turn up the right voice. Northbrook, at this time, I'd like to direct your attention to the online connection card. Encourage you to head over if you have a prayer request, if you're a first-time guest. We'd love to have a record of you checking out the service, and our pastors are taking time and praying over all your prayer requests, so encourage you to make use of that online connection card. Secondly, if you'd like to give online, you can do that a couple ways. You can give online at northbrookchurch.org/giving. Or you can text the letters NBC and an amount to 73256. So now, Northbrook, as you go, may you go in the grace and the goodness and the peace of God. And may the loudest voice in your life be the voice of your Heavenly Father. Amen and amen.